is our water theme for today. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation as we start with Raymond. Welcome to the program, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rosie. How you doing?
Good, good. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I got a two-part question, and it's kind of asking for advice. I have a neighbor's house on the west side of me. My house faces north and south, and my front yard is on the north side, and my backyard is on the south side. From my neighbor's west yard, on the backyard, roots are coming into the house. And what they've been doing for the past several years is they've been searching out the water that's been leaking from my neighbor on the east side and coming into my yard from his west side of the yard. Now, I've talked to my insurance company, and I've sent a letter to the neighbor on the west side, and I didn't know that the water was coming from the... I thought it was my irrigation system, and I had finally called somebody out, and they said, nope, we fixed... There was one little tiny leak I had, and it's fixed, but there's
still
water.
So your neighbor's water is leaking into yours. Is that what's happening?
And I'm asking is, I know I'm supposed to contact them and send them a letter, but is there anybody in the valley that's... I mean, because I talked to his insurance company, and the one insurance company says, I have to prove that it's their fault.
That what's their fault?
The fact that the roots have done damage because I got a cracked foundation. Before I moved in...
Well, he would call Bob Brown at Foundation...
Arizona Foundation
Arizona
Solutions.
Foundation
I've already
Solutions.
Done that, and they've already came out. They did that before I moved in.
Okay.
And they've established that, yes, I do have cracks, but they didn't know why.
Okay.
And so but now I do know why. It's because I got roots and I got a water leak. And they're coming from two different places.
Okay.
So
and
what
you
would
want
be your
neighbor to
then?
And you want your neighbor to pay for this damage?
Well, yeah, and
okay.
And whatnot, because the wall in between where the roots are coming underneath, they're destroying the wall, and the wall on the other side is starting to buckle a little bit.
I understand. I just don't know what else you need to help to prove that. If you've got a foundation expert that says there's cracks, and you've proved that the leak is theirs and the roots are coming from their tree, what else do you? I don't know what else you need other than maybe a good attorney.
Yeah, because even proving all that, if someone knocks on your door and says, "Hey, you've got to spend all this money," they're probably pretty reluctant to.
There is
write
a whole body of tree law, and I don't know anybody that knows it better than John Eisenhower.
There you go. That would probably be a good place to start.
I'd call John Eisenhower at Integrity Tree Service and see what he might be able to tip you off to.
Very good.
It's a tough one.
On the water-related topic, we've been mentioning transitioning if you're looking at going away from a lawn. I know a lot of people don't like the native desert landscaping, but I don't think most people have an accurate that have just seen it, quote, in the city, have an accurate idea of what it can really look like. I mean, you've got to go to a botanical garden. You've got to get out to some pretty areas of the desert, the Four Peaks area, the Rio Verde area. It really is a beautiful landscape. 4 inches of quarter minus granite with a mesquite tree isn't exactly native landscaping.
Well,
if you drive around Tucson, you get a really good idea of how beautiful your landscaping can be. Very native. They did a very good job building into the landscape and not just
blading it. And it's not technically native. We're talking about low water use plants that do very well here on very little water, because a lot of what you're seeing in landscapes aren't technically native, quote unquote, to our desert. They're native to a desert somewhere in the world. So they will live and thrive in our environment with a little bit extra water. And of course, even native plants like mesquites and Palo Verdes look a whole lot better if they're watered a little bit in the dry times. Even cactus, for that matter, will look a lot nicer if they get some water. Now, the amount of water that those kind of plants need is far less than what a lawn needs, or maybe a mulberry or a eucalyptus or an ash tree needs. So you can have very, very attractive landscapes. You know, it's not the old, at the risk of offending somebody, but it's not the old, you know, kind of original Sun City colored rock with, you know, one palm tree in the middle of the yard landscape. It's very well planned. It starts with a good plan, okay? So you need somebody to help you design it properly so that you do have shade for shading your house, your windows. You know, if you talk to Salt River Project or APS, they'll tell you the first way to cut down on your energy bill is to shade your windows especially. So a good low water use tree to help shade windows and the sunny side of the house. It starts then with placement of the right size plants so you don't have to prune them all the time into these little balls and squares that we see things getting pruned into. Most of that's done because the plants got too big for the space. So the proper placement of flowering, colorful, low water use shrubs and some vines and some ground covers. And then you can up in your courtyards and your patios and on your pots and patios, you can have pots full of blooming, colorful things. And then, of course, you know, you can have fruit trees. You can have all kinds of things if you water it correctly.
Oh, hang on just a second.
Increasingly, people are becoming aware of the need to rain harvest as well.
Yeah.
And Tucson has kind of got the hang of that, and it's kind of up and coming here. But just to design your yard so that when it does rain, you can capture that rain and use it for the plants.
Or even if your yard will just hold the water and it'll soak in to your yard. You don't even need necessarily a system to save the water, but just having the water captured on your yard so it soaks in. Then, of course, going out and turning the irrigation system off for a few days after that happens is pretty key to that, too. You'll drive around today. Well, how much rain did they get at South Mountain? An inch and 7/8?
That's right.
It's almost 2 inches of rain yesterday in some parts of the valley. I will guarantee if you go down there, you'll see somebody's lawn sprinklers going off right now. So
that's a given.
You got to turn them off.
Katie's in Mesa and wants to join the program, and you can too at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Go ahead, Katie.
Yes, my name is Katie, and my question is, I have two patio fans that I purchased from Lowe's or either Home Depot, I can't remember. But what I've noticed is that my blades are warped, and I get really no airflow. So my question is, what type of fan is best for the Arizona climate?
Before I answer that question, Katie, I have to ask you a question first.
Okay.
What part of New York are you from?
I'm not from New York.
I was being silly. Do you have a favorite outdoor fan? I know you have one on your back patio.
I don't remember what brand they are, but you have to make sure that the blades are outdoor blades are rated so that they don't warp, because if they're just an indoor fan, even just the temperature and the humidity and everything else that's outdoors will cause them to do that. So I don't remember what brand they are. Sorry. They got to be outdoors.
And I don't remember mine either. I got them at Lamps Plus, and it's the same thing. You just have to make sure you ask for the outdoor-rated lamp. Well, something else we have, and I don't know how applicable this is actually a stand-up rolling fan that we actually found very, very well-priced.
That you can move around?
You can.
Specifically where you're going to be, and they have those outdoor the evap coolers that work pretty well that are portable. Mm-hmm. Those do a really good job.
Yeah, but at Cal Ranch, they've got a size for about $100 that's 2 feet, and then they've got a 4 foot tall fan for $300.
Uh-huh.
And this thing moves some air.
Is it just a fan or is
just
it water
a fan.
Cool?
No? Just a fan.
Uh-huh.
And it's on a roller so you can roll it to wherever you want. It's quite nice. Let's bring Pete into the conversation and see how we can help him on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I'm talking about sports fields, how all this preaching about saving water doesn't seem to apply with the level of importance that sports has in our society with saving water. I live near Brophy Prep, and I noticed they have a full-size football field that is artificial turf.
Uh-huh.
And then they have a grass soccer field, a huge soccer field. But I've seen articles in the newspaper about high schools in Scottsdale putting in artificial turf, and they say that even with an artificial turf, you have to have sprinklers to cool it because of the intense sunshine here in Phoenix. I mow lawns for a living, and I don't know the answer myself. I mean, if you have the University of Arizona in Tucson, they put in an artificial turf football field. So then you could say, well, why doesn't ASU? And the reason I think is that the sun is just too intense here, and it would be too hot for the players' feet.
You know, that's, Pete, that's probably a question more for a political talk show Monday through Friday. You can call back if you've got a question about how to manage your own home.
A lot of the high schools have gone to artificial turf, though, to save water, and they play at night, generally. So those, you know, the temperature of that turf is not such a big issue, but it's a huge capital outlay to put those in, and it takes time to recoup that money. So for schools that have budgetary concerns, that's, you know, it's something they've got to weigh out, and I think booster clubs pitch in with a lot of that and that sort of thing. So there, you know, there's trade-offs.
Any good artificial turf company will tell you, keep your sprinklers on. You're occasionally going to need to turn it on to rinse off that artificial turf, especially if you've got pets in the backyard.
There's been some concern with football fields, with infection, with bacteria, with, you know, you can imagine guys sweating and sliding across and then somebody has an open wound and they saw, I don't know, I have no idea if, you know, anything about that. But, you know, those are all questions, though, that we need to ask. You know, should we have grass in parks that nobody uses half the time? I don't know. You know, I don't know the answer to that.
And just like artificial turf, we were saying it was getting too hot. Generally speaking, you're just like a regular grass. You're not going to be on it when it's that hot anyway.
Yeah, nobody's out using the lawn at the middle of the day in July, right?
I do think we need to start asking questions about how we could do things differently, though.
I think it's all good questions. I think Pete brings up good questions about are we asking the questions about, you know, the right – are we asking the right questions?
Are we weighing everything we need to weigh?
Yeah, exactly.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.